Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. And you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live, as you can every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. So when I was watching the games this weekend, one snooze fest and one really exciting game, I was kind of looking at it through the lens of the Titans, the Tennessee Titans, of what do these teams have that the Titans don't? It's like when you see your ex and they have somebody new and like, what do they have that I don't have? And that's kind of how I was looking at the games this weekend. And I came down to a couple of things that I think were the biggest differences between the Titans and the teams currently in the playoffs. I think the first and foremost, you look at the quarterback situations. That every team in the playoffs either had an elite quarterback or was elite around them. And it's pretty obvious. In the NFC Championship, you had two quarterbacks that were good, not elite, but elite around them. I think that from top to bottom, all the way around, the 49ers and the Eagles have two of the best, if not the best, rosters in the NFL. Pass-catching cores, offensive line, defense, all the way around. Those teams are just so well-rounded, which allows them to have good, great, not elite quarterbacks. You look at the AFC Championship, and that was a battle of two elite quarterbacks that are fine around those quarterbacks. They have their weapons, but the offensive line is iffy, at least for Kansas City. They're riddled with injuries, and some of their pass catchers were out. The run game for Kansas City was questionable. So you look at these two games and the four teams, they're either elite around the quarterback or they've got their guy. They've got their Mahomes. They've got their Joe Burrow. And there was one thing that I noticed that Corey Curtis also mentioned on Robbie and Rex Road yesterday morning. This was Corey Curtis.
Offensive line play was, to me, the number one story of this season. The gap between the haves and the have-nots was the Grand Canyon. There were so few teams that had superior offensive line play, and those teams moved to the top. And, you know, a lot of those teams are teams with good quarterbacks because they understood they got to protect them. And, you know, the Bengals finally made changes this year to try to protect Joe Burrow, but, you know, still not enough. I mean, they're really lucky that guy hasn't gotten hurt again. I mean, he is a gutty, tough football player who's not going to hide from anything, and he should be their quarterback for 15 or 20 years. But they're putting him on a path of insustainability, that's for sure. And the other thing I've said is, as good as Jalen Hurts has been, and he's been great, everything around him is phenomenal. And there's a lot of quarterbacks who would look really good running that system right now. But again, I don't want to take away from how good he's been.
And what Corey said, a lot of it, it's spot on. Except in the Kansas City situation. Kansas City's offensive line isn't great. Mahomes got sacked three times. He was pressured. He was pushed outside the pocket. Now, it looked even worse because he was hobbled. But Cincinnati still got pressure on Mahomes. So the equalizer, again, was the quarterback, even in Joe Burrow, in his case. Last year, sacked 8 or 9 times here in Nashville. The deciding factor was him as quarterback and those receivers. Philly, same way. They didn't San Fran wasn't able to get as much pressure because Philly – they realized very quickly that we need to run the football. We got to run the football. Now, if they would have went to a strictly passing game, that benefits San Fran. And San Fran would have pinned their ears back, and D'Amico Ryans would have went after them. But because Philly, went more of the run route, it neutralized what they can do from a pass rushing standpoint. Even though Philadelphia, they do have one of the best, if not the best, offensive line in the National Football League, but you were going against arguably the best defensive line in the National Football League, and you neutralize them. Why? Because you ran the football instead of making it a drop back game. Kansas City is always going to be in this situation where Mahomes is pressured or he gets sacks more times than not because they pass the football a lot. Now, he can do that because he's the best quarterback in the National Football League at this particular time. The two teams that are left, they have a few things that the Titans don't have at this particular time. One, the quarterback. They don't have the quarterback. Two, the receivers. Three, the offensive line. Four, the flat-out defense. Now, Titans do have a good defense, but they need to upgrade their secondary. That should be number one as far as what do we need to do to make our defense better. Upgrade your secondary. Then your defense get better. Not necessarily your safety, because I think Kevin Byard is still playing at a high level, but your corners. You got to upgrade your corners. You just do, or they need to get better. So there's more than just the offensive line that is an obvious need or obvious separation from Philadelphia, Kansas City, and the Titans. It's the offensive line. It's the pass catchers. It's the quarterback. It's the cornerbacks. It's the depth. I can keep going, you know. So it's not just one thing. It's multiple things that the Titans need to upgrade. Not to say that they need to go out and get, you know, the best, you know, the top free agents at every position. No, they just need to get some good players and some depth and hopefully build that team up to where, you know, they can compete and win games in the playoffs versus Cincinnati and Kansas City and Buffalo and whoever else. But until that happens, they're always going to be behind those teams. Whether, you know, they can go out and get a quarterback, but if they don't show up that offensive line, or that defense from a pass standpoint, pass defense standpoint, then, I mean, what are you doing?
I think, again, to be fair, let's remember how much they have been decimated from the injuries. Like, what they had was going to be a lot better than it turned out to be. I think had it not been for some really bad luck on injuries, maybe because of the grass. I guess we're blaming it on the grass.
Uh-huh. I guess that's the case.
But I look at the two teams that have made the Super Bowl, and I see teams that have been smart. One team has the franchise quarterback, and they have transitioned from his first contract to the second contract. They've made smart decisions on who they can keep to stay elite, who they could part with and live with it, Tyreek Hill being a main example, and still have Patrick Mahomes lead the way with less resources around him because they're paying him more. I see the Eagles going a different way, and that is, hey, we got our quarterback in the second round. Hey, we got something here. We have a quarterback on his first contract who's not taking up a lot of the salary cap. Let's make smart decisions around him. Hey, let's go for it. Let's try to add another receiver. We drafted Devontae Smith in the first round. Let's give him the running mate. Let's trade for A.J. Brown. We have the ability to do this. We can pay an A.J. Brown. We're not paying Jalen Hurts that much. Hey, we've got this really good offensive line. You know, so it's an evolving thing, right? It's not any one formula that has to be the formula. It's recognizing what you have, what you need. Everybody's going to miss on some stuff. But are you making the smart decisions? You got to draft well, right? That goes without saying. You need to have some smart draft picks, but also recognizing what you need and using the right resources to go get it. There's more than one way to do it.
And then the other thing I think what separates those two teams from the Titans and other teams is the play calling from an offensive standpoint. Arguably the greatest offensive play caller in this generation is Andy Reid.
And the second best was also in the NFC Championship.
Exactly, yeah. Absolutely. And then you have Philadelphia's offensive coordinator. Can't even pronounce his last name. How do you pronounce this? Shane Steichen?
Steichen. I think so.
I'm not saying he's a great play caller because he's still young in the game, but he's doing a really good job at knowing the playmakers that he has and using those playmakers. But if you take those playmakers away outside, we are going to figure out and how to run the football. And we're going to do it. It's sort of like that Bill Belichick thing. Mm-hmm. Like, listen, we can go out one week and we can pass the ball 40 times and win. And then everybody says, well, they're a passing team. And then they play the ball, and then they play somebody that's good at stopping the pass, and Tom Brady ends up handing the ball off 40 times, and they end up winning the game like that. So Bill Belichick is able to pass the football, well, Tom Brady was, able to pass the football 40 times and win a game or run the football 40 times. And it seems like Shane is the same way. Whether I got to pass the ball 30 times to win a game, I can do that because we have the playmakers. Or if you want to take that away, fine, great. I got a quarterback that can run, and I got a running back that has rushed over 1,300 yards. He can run the ball too. So we can run the ball 40 times and still beat you.
And I think Willie brings up a good point in that these two teams that are heading to the Super Bowl, and really all four teams that were playing on Sunday, showed that there's not one example. Mm-hmm. There's not one cookie cutter example of what your team needs to be in order to get to that next step. So what do the Titans do? And what's the timeline for that? I want to get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts, your calls, your texts, 615-737-1025. It's Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Well, I think, you know, outside of the Chiefs, those four teams, right, and Rand Carthon mentioned it, about playing Golden State Warriors football in October and November, but you better be able to run the football. And I mean, the Chiefs, they're not a running team. They don't have a rushing offense, but they got that guy, Patrick Mahomes, as Michael Irvin said, God playing quarterback. It makes up for not being able to run the football that well. So I think really the difference is that, and then the defense, man. That Eagles defense, that 49ers defense, even the Bengals defense. You know, the Chiefs are coming along, but that's another thing. Those defenses are really, really good. So I think that's what put them in there.
There you go. That was TD Teron Davenport on the show yesterday. I asked him the same question that we're discussing now. What is the biggest difference between the teams that we saw on Sunday and the teams that we will see in the Super Bowl and the Titans? What's the gap there, and how can the Titans get there? And TD says the difference is the run game, which I don't think is a problem for the Titans. I think that's really, if you look at this Titans team, that's the one thing you feel good about. Yeah. Is the ability to run the football. Now, how long is that going to be the case? I don't know. But also the defense. And I think that's fair because I was trying to write down my differences, playoff differences between the Titans and the four teams that played on Sunday. I said quarterback, whether he had an elite quarterback or a fine quarterback and elite around them, offensive line. And I put defense somewhere in the middle. Because I think the pass rush for the Titans has been solid. It's been a strength for this team. Mm-hmm. But it's something that they struggled with in Week 17 against the Jags. And I look at the pass rush on Sunday, and Chris Jones is a dog. And the Titans were able to do that in the divisional round against the Bengals last year. They got 9 sacks against Joe Burrow and that truly dreadful Bengals offensive line. So the pass rush, I would say, is fine. But D-Mace, you bring up the secondary, and that's a problem. The Titans don't have an elite defense. They have an elite pass rush, of course, riddled by injury this mm-hmm. year, and it didn't reach its full potential, at least I don't think. But the defense isn't elite. The pass rush is elite.
Yeah, it is. And I'm not saying that Fulton, I believe he's a good player, but I don't think whether, you know, I like McQuarrie as well. But I don't think those they're good corners. But if your pass rush isn't if your rushers are not getting to the passer, then their job is going to be very difficult. Listen, I understand that, you know, great defensive fronts sometimes make, you know, secondary play looks better than it actually is. You know, but then there's the other way where, you know, secondaries, you know, because they're able to cover so well, you know, but you're talking about guys, when I say that, you're talking about guys that are Hall of Fame level guys or all pro guys mm-hmm. each and every year. And there's not many of those guys in the league. There are a handful, but not many. But those guys typically, you know who they are. And everybody do those shutdown guys. You know who they are. The Jets have one in their rookie.
He is so good. Sauce Gardner.
Yeah, Sauce Gardner.
He is so good.
And there are a few other guys. The kid Campbell from Jacksonville is pretty good. So, you know, when you start having those shutdown guys, they are highlighted around the league. Everybody knows who those guys are. The Titan guys are good, but I think they benefit a lot, too, from the pass rush. And they just, to me, they need to upgrade that position. I think McQuarrie's natural position is the slot guy. I think he could be one of the best. We look at Cincinnati and their slot guy, how good he is. I think that could be McQuarrie if he's playing a slot. You can blitz him because he's tough. He's a good tackler. He can cover, you know, the smaller guys. He has good footwork, hip movements. He's just not a guy that you can put outside and say, hey, listen, you take away this guy. If you put him in inside, he works better there because you can do multiple things with him. They need to upgrade the secondary. They need to upgrade those two corners. I think Byard and Hooker are two of the best tandem safeties in the National Football League. So, you know, when you're looking at the Titans, it's not just, again, it's not just the offensive line, but it starts with the offensive line. But it's not just the offensive line. You can go to the pass catch. They don't have enough pass catchers. They don't have enough shutdown. They don't have the secondary is not enough. Exactly. So when you start looking at the teams that were in the AFC championship game or the NFC championship game and then subsequently the two teams that are going on to the Super Bowl, there's more than one thing that separates them in the Tennessee Titans. Now, in Kansas City case, this – the most important position,
quarterback.
It's the quarterback that separates him. Yeah. Everything
That's
else,
really
yeah.
It well, honestly, they have a fine pass rush. Uh-huh. Chris Jones is really solid, but I mean, they traded away Tyreek Hill and replaced him with Juju Smith-Schuster. Yeah. I mean, like that
but
is
you
a
got the greatest
downgrade.
You got the greatest pass. You got the greatest play caller.
You got a good
in
play
this
caller,
generation.
And you've got Travis Kelce. So you've got Patrick Mahomes, mm-hmm, and Travis Kelce, who is one of two of the best tight ends in the NFL. And you've got a solid pass rush, and really, that's it.
I think the ability to get mileage out of okay wide receivers, mm-hmm, and a guy like, for example, Jerick McKinnon, a very good specialist, pass-blocking third-down guy who is a very good pass catcher out of the backfield, they've gotten a lot of mileage out of him. They got some decent games from Smith-Schuster and a couple of these other guys. That Marquez Valdez Scantling. I mean, they find guys, but they're
just guys.
But they're elevated because have the guy and the play caller.
Exactly.
So they identified that they could make it work doing that, and so that's smart, right? You know what you can do, you know what you have, and you accentuate what you do really well. You got me thinking on the defense. I think that's what the Titans thought they would have, is they would have a young secondary that is getting better with a great leader on the back end with Byard, mm-hmm, a great front four. The idea was to have Cunningham, you know, in the middle, you know, as a ferocious run stopper, a David Long. You know, I think they thought they had the makings of a really good defense, but how many games did they have that defense? Well, never. They didn't have a single one because Landry got hurt, mm-hmm, before it ever all started. We never got to see what it looked like. So as I look at that, I still think that could be a really good unit. Secondary, Elijah Molden, never really – he played that slot, mm-hmm, position that you thought that you were talking about, a guy, mm-hmm, who could blitz a little bit, guard the guy in the slot. We never really saw him in the field at any point, any time this year with any significant, you know, stringing together of games. So I'm curious how they evaluate that group. And do they run it back with those guys? Sign Jeffrey Simmons. Make sure Autry's still there. What does Landry look like? What are you going to do with Bud Dupree? Maybe that's the one guy you change and try to switch out for somebody else. I still think this could be a very good defense next year if you have everybody. But those are questions. Like, mm-hmm, can Molden stay on the field the whole year? Can Christian Fulton stay healthy a whole year? Can Amani Hooker stay healthy a whole year? He's had trouble staying on the field. Mm-hmm. How much can you rely on those guys?
Yeah, that's what is going to, you know, boil down to. And Rand said it. Listen, there's going to be some tough, Amy said it, there's going to be some tough decisions made, you know, on this roster. And this is the year that, you know, some of those decisions are going to have to be made. Some guys that we love may not be here anymore. or they may have to go out and replace and get other guys. But the way this roster sits right now, it's just not. And obviously that's why they went and got a new GM. And again, I don't put this all on John. I think it was both John and Mike. And I think now that Rand's in, now Mike has something that he needs to prove that, okay, now that we got a new guy in here, does things change on the field? But they need to upgrade a lot on this team. And it's been a 2-year process that is, this team didn't just all of a sudden this year fall off the map. I know they had a first round bye, and I know they were the number one seed last year, but this has been slowly going downhill since last season with the depth. They just managed to make it work. They guys came in and they played their role, guys they were pulling off other teams, guys that were or not on a team, they were pulling in, and they made it work. But the roster wasn't getting upgraded. They were just putting Band-Aids on everything. So this roster has been going downhill the last two seasons. And with that being said, going into this offseason, this is the most important offseason, I believe, for this franchise in regards to where they go forward. They got to build this roster up, and it's going to take more than 1 year to do it. But this year's critical for them to get that ball rolling.
But when you say it's been going downhill since last year, mm-hmm. at what point?
I think the whole season. I think they were able to make it. See,
like all last season.
Yeah, I think when they started getting those injuries, winning masked a lot of inefficiencies in your team. You make it work. However you make it work, you make it work. And you may have ran into a team that wasn't fully healthy like you. You may have ran into the team at a right time or the worst time. But you can't just look at the record and say, well, they were the number one seed last year, so they wasn't that bad. If you look deeper into it, this team has been going downhill because they relied so heavy on guys that they were pulling from other places. These are not guys that they were signing to long-term deals.
Because they lost a lot of their core guys.
Exactly.
LaJuan, core guy, out second game. Landry, never played a game. Those guys make a lot of money. Dupree, very rarely available. Those are huge chunks of your salary cap.
But
you're relying too much on those guys. I don't think any team can overcome that.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying is you put so much money and so heavy in these guys. And I get it, rightfully so. But when they go down, when you have these rash of injuries, if your roster isn't built from the bottom up, if you don't have that depth that you need to continue, winning and continue to be a force in this league, eventually it will show up,
But so when you say winning masked yes. a lot of last season, mm-hmm. what else matters?
I understand it, but it doesn't matter until it matters. It doesn't matter, and it mattered this year.
Last year,
it didn't matter because they were winning, and everybody was like, hey, Vrabel's doing – which he was doing a good job.
And the injuries weren't the problem last year. It was Ryan Tannehill's 3 interceptions in the exactly. playoff game. But he doesn't throw injuries, those interceptions.
But they still had a lot of injuries last year.
They had a lot of injuries, but they had pretty much everybody back
exactly.
by the time
their
the playoffs
starters.
Started.
That's what they were hoping.
That's
like,
what was
all of our starters will be back when we play Cincinnati. And they were.
They went through the fire, survived, got the number one seed, mm-hmm. which was a great accomplishment, had everything lined up, had everybody back. Mm-hmm. And then that happened in the playoffs. What's disappointing.
But then they didn't do enough the next following season to start to build that roster back up because, again, they got injuries. But this time they were not able to overcome the injuries. Why? Because their quarterback got hurt. Now, see, when your quarterback is there and he's good, not to say Ryan is great, but he's good enough to win you games. As long as that quarterback is there, then okay, we can do some things, AJ was there and he made plays and whatnot. But the minute your quarterback goes down, you really start to see how much of a deficiency you have on your team. Because when our quarterback goes down, we try to lean on everything else. Well, we don't have the depth to do it. And the lack of depth didn't just happen this season. It was going on last season, but because Ryan played all the games, he was able to win games against teams that were dealing with injuries too. You know, so I say this, I've been screaming this for the longest. This roster from top to bottom isn't a good roster. They're top heavy. The bottom of this roster isn't good, and it showed this year. Even though they battled and fought, but at the end of the day, they just were not good enough, you know, from player one to player 52. They were not good enough to overcome the injuries.
We'll get into your phones on this coming up next, 615-737-1025. Write to your phones coming up next. Plus, how some decisions from some quarterbacks in the league could affect the Titans as they are go around the quarterback carousel. We'll get into that, all of that coming up next. It's Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-106 for the game.
I just want to say thank you guys for everything this year. I really appreciate all your effort, and I know it's hard for you guys, too. It's hard for us players to make it through, and you guys got a tough job, and I appreciate all that you guys do to cover us and everyone who watches and is a big fan of the sport. We're very grateful for everyone's support, and you know, hopefully, you know, I love this organization. It's a great place to be, and thank you everybody for welcoming me, all you regulars, and just very grateful for the respect, and I hope I gave the same thing back to you guys. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
There you go. That was Tom Brady in his post-game press conference after the Buccaneers got bounced in the wild card round of the playoffs. And I teased something, but then Willie and D-Mace got into it at the break. And I believe that everybody deserves to hear what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. D-Mace, your claim is that the Titans weren't able to compete because the bottom of the roster wasn't good enough.
Yes.
Willie, your rebuttal.
Well, I looked at the last, I tried to be fair to what happened last year. How was the team built to be successful? And this is, I won't even go to the A.J. Brown trade because they made that trade.
Yeah,
I don't think in hindsight anybody would argue that they were better off making that trade. I think I really would have loved to have seen how the team looked with him back in the lineup. But how was the team built to be successful? A rising defense that had really started to become a force by the end of 2 years ago, 2021, when they were the number one seed. A solid running game that goes maybe a little bit against the grain, that forces you to defend a physical top-level runner. A solid veteran quarterback. I think that, you know, I could have seen, that's why the A.J. Brown thing puzzled me as much as it did. But I think you identify in this league what you can do well, and you try to accentuate what you do well and mask the weaknesses. What were the weaknesses? Well, they didn't have a great offensive line. They don't have great depth at wide receiver, especially putting all your eggs in a rookie basket there. But I try to be fair and say, what team could sustain injuries to the following, just on defense, forget about the offensive line, but just on defense, your top corner, Christian Fulton, one of your most underrated players, maybe one of the most underrated players in the game, in Danico Autry, your franchise defensive player in Jeffrey Simmons, compromised with the injury he had, Bud Dupree, constantly dealing with something, never even having Harold Landry.
Never having disgust for Bud Dupree is my favorite bit on this
but
show.
But the fact is
and
that
Bud's probably a good guy. I know he's a good guy.
The
but
fact
still.
Is that Bud Dupree had a heavy price tag to him, and they're trying to overcome that. Even when he was on the field, wasn't a huge difference, but throw him out if you want to. But you never even got a chance to play one game with Harold Landry, a guy that you went out of your way to sign long-term. Then also on top of that, David Long got hurt. Zach Cunningham was hurt. Amani Hooker was hurt. Pretty much everybody but Kevin Byard was hurt. You never had Elijah Molden. What team would have the depth to sustain those types of injuries? That's just on defense. I'm not even talking about offense.
What team would?
I mean, number one, they lost their quarterback for five games.
And I pointed that out. I said last year when they had all of these injuries, the one injury that they didn't have and they couldn't afford to have was the quarterback. Had Ryan Tannehill got hurt last year, I guarantee you would have saw the same thing last year as you saw this year, because they needed someone in that quarterback space that was a guy that was capable of winning games. Whiteside or Woodside wasn't capable of winning games last year. I'm just going to put that. I believe that because he's not here any longer. Had they thought he could win games, he would still be on this roster. They wouldn't have allowed him to go to the practice squad and eventually be picked up by anybody in the NFL.
But the concerning thing is that they passed over Logan Woodside for Malik Willis.
Like, exactly.
They thought that Malik Willis was going to be able to win games more so than Logan Woodside would. And that's a completely different story for a different day, but still concerning.
Exactly. So when I say, because this is what Amy said. Rand was one of those, she really honed in and zeroed in on Rand because of his ability to evaluate and build up rosters. The rosters build up from the top, from the bottom up. Now, you need your quarterback. You need some players, but if you're going to sustain success because injuries happen in this game, you better be able to evaluate the bottom of your roster
and
make sure that you got guys that can come in and step in and play.
All right, I know that's a theme of yours. Let me flip it to the other side. Let's talk about the top of the roster. Mm-hmm. Okay, the top of the roster for the Chiefs, Mahomes, mm-hmm. Kelsey, Jones on defense, right? They've got a pretty hellacious top of the roster.
Yeah.
But and so you got to have a few of those guys.
Yeah,
right?
I'm not taking that away from it.
So when we're talking about the top of the Titans roster, mm-hmm. who are those guys? Let's go
Henry,
down.
Henry,
Simmons.
Tannehill, Simmons.
Well,
Autry.
Tannehill. I mean,
you got to put him at the
good.
Top of the roster because he's the quarterback and won a bunch of games.
You're making my point for me though. How many game changing guys do they have on the roster? Simmons for sure.
Henry
for sure. Byard, I guess.
He's still in that.
Okay.
So they got three guys.
And then we're kind of struggling to find other guys.
Uh-huh.
Right? So can you win? I mean, what about the top of the roster? Like I think it's more about the top. They traded another guy that was a game changer. That was the other decision that they made. So I think Amy Adams, if I were her, I would be more sore at that. I do think the AJ Brown thing was at the heart.
But this team has shown if they are healthy, all 11 on offense and on defense, they can compete and win against any team, just about any team in the National Football League when they're healthy.
Even when they're not healthy.
Exactly. So I'm not worried about the 11 starters, even though I do believe they need to upgrade their secondary. I truly believe that. And the offensive line, obviously, because the injury. But when you start looking past the 11 on defense and 11 on offense, they struggled so much because they didn't have people to come in and replace a Taylor Lewan and replace a Ben Jones and replace a who did they trade? Who did they allow at Buffalo?
Roger Saffold.
Yeah, Roger Saffold. When Nate Davis went down, it was hard for them to replace him and
that,
still get
that
the
was very obvious.
But think about the number
neglect.
Of the amount of names we've mentioned in the last two segments of key guys
exactly.
that went down with
but
injuries.
But what I'm saying is
nobody can replace all those guys.
Every team has injuries in this league. I think we are
not this many. Not
I think
that
we
many.
We don't know that because we don't follow those teams.
San Francisco
was down to their third-string quarterback and went on a 7-game win streak. I think that's what people are missing.
That is the exception.
I understand that that's an exception, but if you do a good job at evaluating your that second tier of players, because you know in this business it's 100% injury-ridden. It's going to happen. You're going to get injured or you're going to get hurt. 100%. No team is void of it. Nobody. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, you got to be able to look at your roster and say, I got my 11 guys. They're starters. I know we're good there. But then behind them, if something happens, where are we? Well, we saw with the Tennessee Titans, when something happens, they were not in a good place this year. And it just didn't start this year. That's what I'm saying. Like last year, even though they had a lot of injuries, guys were not out for a long period of time other than Derrick Henry. But when they got back to the playoffs, Julio was in and out, in and out. Yeah, that's a different story.
Eye roll.
But even when they got in the playoffs, everybody was healthy. This year, if Treylon Burks goes down, they have no pass catchers, no legitimate pass catchers that's going to threaten anybody. Taylor Lewan goes down, they ain't got nobody to play left tackle that you don't have to worry about. Let's say that. Okay, if If David Long Jr. goes down for 4 or 5 games, I like Dylan Cole, but I don't think he's – the defense is different when David Long Jr. is not in the game.
Sure.
It's a lot different from that linebacker standpoint. Rand is probably looking at this roster and saying, listen, yeah, we got some players, you know, on that front line, whether it be defense or offense, that are really good. But, again, if something happens, I got to make sure – we got to make sure that things don't drop off. You know, we got to make sure that we are in a position that we got young guys that we coach up and are ready to go, or veteran guys that we bring in and that's ready to go. And this year, it didn't seem that way. That's all I'm saying. I can't compare it to, you know, I can do the homework and try to compare it to every other, you know, the other 31 teams in the National Football League, but we don't follow the other 32 teams. So I don't know how many injuries they've had.
Not as many as the Titans.
Exactly.
Let's get your thoughts on it. 615-737-1025. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. JW is up next. What's up?
I was just going to point out, back when D-Mace was playing, the few times they managed to knock Steve out, you had Neil O'Donnell walk right in, and they kept right on going.
Nah.
Yeah, thanks for your call, JW. And I think that there are certain instances – to a certain extent, there's a certain threshold that you can continue with business as usual. You look at, let's take the Chiefs, for example. They had Isaiah Pacheco, who was a seventh-round pick, who has been a really solid running back for them. You lose Mecole Hardman, you lose Juju Smith-Schuster, and, well, Travis Kelce can pick up all of the slack. The Cincinnati Bengals, Joe Mixon goes down. Well, Samaje Perine just ran all over the Titans in the middle of the season. Jamar Chase has a hip injury. Well, T. Higgins has got it. So I think there's a certain threshold that when your roster is adequately stocked with playmakers, one goes down, you're okay. One on offense and one on defense, you're okay. This team started 2 steps behind everybody else because John Robinson neglected some of the positions on this roster. Offensive line, completely neglected in the offseason. Pass catchers, to your point, Treylon Burks goes down, you don't have anybody. And that might be part of the reason why John Robinson isn't here anymore.
You're making my case.
But I do think that there is a certain extent where the Titans had so many injuries. And I don't think there's a team in the league that could have overcome it. When you're down to your Mario Edwards and your Andrew Adams and your Dylan Coles, and no disrespect to those guys, but they are not starters in the NFL. When you're down to those guys, and then those guys are on the injury report, and now you're down to your guys below your guys, I don't know how you overcome that. So I do think that there is a little bit of a balance between the two. This team was not properly stocked up with playmakers. But also, all those playmakers went down, and the playmakers behind him went down, and the playmakers behind him went down. So this team was plagued from the very beginning.
But again, to me, and you're right, Caroline, but that shouldn't happen at every position. Like, I should look to a position like last year when Derrick Henry got hurt. Well, we went to Dante Foreman, and we didn't miss a beat. Not to say he was Derrick Henry, because he's not, but they made sure they had that position. Why? Because they are a run-based team. So we want to make sure we have somebody behind Derrick that can go and get it the same that Derrick and run the same way that Derrick run. The physicality in his running didn't have the speed of Derrick Henry. He's not Derrick Henry, but they still were able to be physical as an offensive unit because of Dante Foreman. They lost, you know, A.J. Brown was in and out, or Julio Jones was in and out. Well, they had other guys that came in and sort of did the thing, even though, but they had
because they could run the ball. They could run the ball.
But they had the one guy, A.J. Brown, out there majority of the time. So when it happens across the board with every position, that's when you have a problem. If it's just one position, okay, but we got another sewed up, okay, we can deal with that. But when it happens at the receiver position, at the tackle position, at the guard position, at the cornerback position, we have a problem now.
Coming up next, I'm willing to entertain anything if the Titans can upgrade the quarterback position. But there's one thing another team is doing that I'm not willing to do, and we'll get into that coming up next. It's Caroline Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. Adam Schefter was on the Pat McAfee show earlier this week talking about Aaron Rodgers' potential landing spots. He said it's his opinion, and I agree, that the Green Bay Packers likely will trade Aaron Rodgers. If they do trade Aaron Rodgers, which he also reported was a very likely possibility, that he's going to an AFC team. So he and Pat McAfee were discussing potential landing spots for Aaron Rodgers. Mentioned the Colts, mentioned the Jets. The Titans were also in that conversation. Also mentioned the Raiders. Now, I'm willing to entertain whatever it would take, to at least hear whatever it would take to upgrade the Titans at the quarterback position. Whether you like Aaron Rodgers or you don't, Aaron Rodgers undoubtedly is an upgrade at the quarterback position. So I'm willing to negotiate and discuss whatever it would take to potentially get Aaron Rodgers. Of course, Aaron Rodgers isn't your only option. But the one thing that I'm not willing to do to get Aaron Rodgers is what the New York Jets are doing to get Aaron Rodgers. And it is so obvious what the Jets are doing. They are following the Denver Broncos model to a T. Last year, Denver wanted to upgrade at quarterback. They wanted Aaron Rodgers. So what do? They hire his former offensive coordinator in Green Bay. They hire Nathaniel Hackett. They don't get Aaron Rodgers. He goes back to Green Bay. They settle for Russell Wilson. They say it was their first option. And I think that is a lie. Because why else would you hire Nathaniel Hackett? And we saw that Nathaniel Hackett was such a disaster in Denver. He was fired before the season even ended. He didn't even last a full year in Denver. And to be completely honest with you, I kind of thought that was probably it for Nathaniel Hackett. Maybe he was going to go to the Nick Saban School of Offensive Analysts at Alabama. And that was kind of going to be, you know, the next landing spot for Nathaniel Hackett. But no, he gets hired by the New York Jets to be their next offensive coordinator. And Ryan Clark was on Get Up earlier this week and discussed why that was such a bad idea.
We did it in Denver. Oh, Nathaniel Hackett's going to Denver. The whole offseason, we're going to speculate if they're going to get Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers doesn't go. Nathaniel Hackett is actually terrible at coaching. He's terrible at managing an offense. He's terrible at decision making. But now let's bring him to the Jets, because
is it about any quarterbacks that he's connected to?
And then Robert Saleh, well, everybody in this league's connected. At least lie better. You know why you went out and got him. You didn't go get him because he just performed this phenomenal deed in Denver. He actually showed you that he can't command a locker room. He can't hold it in he can't hold it all together himself. And now we're going to ask that guy to be the offensive coordinator in New York, which is the worst place to be anything and not be good at it, just because he might get Aaron Rodgers, understanding what it's going to take to get Aaron Rodgers to be the quarterback of your team, and watching Aaron Rodgers play last year without Devontae Adams and thinking that that's going to be the guy that's going to come be the savior of this team that hasn't been to the Super Bowl in I don't know how dang long?
And I'm surprised that Ryan went that route, because he knows, just like any other player that's played in this league, there's a difference from being a head coach.
Yes.
In an OC.
I don't understand the argument.
I don't understand.
The Jets aren't moving aside a good young head coach in Robert Saleh.
Absolutely.
Who has built a foundation. He's gone through the fire. They have the makings of a good team. They're not moving him aside to make Nathaniel Hackett
exactly.
their head coach.
They're making Nathaniel Hackett the offensive coordinator.
Yes. That's a sensible move.
He was a good coordinator, and whether you say it was because of Aaron Rodgers or not, and I would prescribe to a lot of it, you know, when you have that type of guy at quarterback, then it makes your job a little bit easier. But he proved to be a really good coordinator, offensive coordinator with the Green Bay Packers. Just like Josh McDaniel. I don't think Josh McDaniels is a great head coach. I think he's a hell of a play caller.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a great head coach. I think if he ever was to get fired with the Raiders, he would get another offensive coordinator job in a heartbeat. Why? Because he knows how to call plays. Nathaniel Hackett is not going there to manage the team. He's going there to call plays,
yes.
Which he's proven.
And there's a big difference.
He can do it. When you got to be the head coach and call plays. Well, he proved it enough in Green Bay.
Because he didn't call plays in Green Bay.
Well, he proved it enough, whether he called all the plays or some of the plays, he proved that he can do a good job at the role he was in. He's going to the Jets. They're not asking him to manage the team. They're asking him to be a play caller. That's all they're asking. And I'm sure there will be input from the other offensive staff. So the argument that, oh, he was a horrible head coach, why did they have hire him as a offensive coordinator? I can give you several head coaches that were horrible, but they are damn good play callers. So that, I don't know why he went down that road with that argument. That's a bad argument to make. I could see if he was going from Denver to the Jets as a head coach, and they're firing their head coach. But I'm like, what are they doing?
I think Robert Saleh is a pretty solid young head coach, and that team is young. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget, they were at one point, 6-3? Mm-hmm. They lost Breece Hall, who was having a really good season. He's mm-hmm. a young running back. He was averaging 5.8 yards per carry. He tears his ACL. You know, they've got Garrett Wilson, a young receiver. They've still got Corey Davis. They've got Elijah Moore. I mean, they've got some pieces. Mm-hmm. And I like their defense. I can see the Jets going, okay, we've gone through the fire here. We've done the rebuilding thing. Give us a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, we could win. I can see that.
But I think that was such a move, an obvious move of bending the knee for Aaron Rodgers, and that's not what I'm willing to do. If you want to come here, you come here. I'm not kissing the ring. That's going to do it for us today. Stillman and Company is up next. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Kiss the ring in peace.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.